ברוכים הנמצאים. Ladies, we are studying פרשת השבוע, פרשת חוקת. וידבר אדוני אל משה ואל אהרון לאמור, זאת חוקת התורה, אשר ציווה אדוני לאמור, דבר אל בני ישראל ויקחו אליך פרה אדומה, תמימה אשר אין בה מום, אשר לא עלה עליה עוד. Our parasha, of course, is the parasha of the Parah Aduma. This is the story of the red cow. Our Torah is called Parashat Chukat because the Parah Aduma is indeed a hawk. A hawk is a law that is beyond our comprehension. Some laws are mishpatim. Kibud av va'em makes sense. Lo tirtzach makes sense. Lo tignov makes sense. However, there are other laws like milk and meat. Why? Why should it be forbidden? If the milk is halav Yisrael and if the meat is glat bet Yosef, so each one is kasher individually. So when I put them together, they become not kosher. Doesn't make any sense. Why is shatnez asur? Wool and linen. Wool alone is kasher. Linen alone is kasher. And you blend them together and you have isur deoraita. It makes no sense. There are many laws as such. Even the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Why? What is the symbol of the tiki'ah and the tiru'ah and the shivarim? Why does it have to be the ram's horn? Of course, reasons were given. But defies logic why this has to do with judgment, blowing a shofar. And there are many laws like this that are hukim. But the ultimate huk, the ultimate, of all the hukim is Parah Aduma. Why? Because all the other hukim, great rabbis and geniuses figured out something. They were able to say a little understanding. Even to milk and meat. Even to sha'atnez. When it came to sha'atnez, one rabbi said, the original korban, the first korban, that was ever brought, was by Cain. Cain put on the Mizbeach Pishtan. He put flax. It's cheap. Linen, flax seed. It's a cheap item. How do they know that Cain brought flax? It doesn't say in the Torah that he brought flax. It says he brought a korban. But if you take the word korban, it's kuf, resh, bet, nun, korban. Take the kuf. Spell kuf, kuf, vav, pe, kuf. What's the last letter of kuf? Pe. The next letter is resh. Resh yud shin. That's shin. Bet is bet yud taf. That's taf. And nun is nun vav nun. That's nun, pishtan. So the sofet tevot of the word korban spells pishtan. So the rabbis gave a remez. Oh, he must have brought pishtan because it says korban. Okay, it's a nice remez. And hevel, what did hevel bring? Hevel, it says, brought something more expensive. He brought the wool. The wool is more hashuv. And as a result, what happened? Cain got jealous of Hevel. And as a result, he ended up killing his brother. And this became the first murder in Jewish history. As a result of what? Wool and linen. So the rabbi said, these two become forbidden forever. Because of these two materials, it started a fight. And therefore, these two don't go together. Now, that's a nice story. It's a nice story. Is that the reason? I don't know if that's the reason. But at least it's something we could hold on to. It makes us understand it a little. Makes it more palatable. The reasons of the Torah, in Hebrew, the way you say the word reason is a ta'am. In Hebrew, the way you say flavor is ta'am. How could one word mean two totally different things? Is it a reason or is it a flavor? The explanation is because the reason gives it flavor. The reason of the mitzvah gives it a ta'am. It gives it a... Listen, a person could eat food also without salt and pepper and seasonings. And he'll survive, but he won't enjoy it. We put seasonings on the food, so it's pleasurable. The same things, the reasons make it more enjoyable. Even on milk and meat, they said reasons. I won't go into it now, but there's reasons according to the Kabbalah. according to the Kabbalah, there's reasons why. In any event, when it came to Parah Adumah, even the wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, he said, when it comes to this, Rehoka Mimeni, it's far from me. Amok, amok, mi yimsa. Deep, deep, who can understand it? So this was what makes Parah Adumah the ultimate hook. Nobody even dares to try to explain it. It's hard to even understand the rationale of it, how it works, and so on and so forth. Everybody asks the same question, but if this parasha is talking about Parah Adumah, so then why does it say Zot Hukat HaTorah? It should say Zot Hukat HaParah. We're not talking about all the Hukim, it only mentions Parah Adumah. So say Zot Hukat, this is the Hukah of the Parah. Why does it say Zot Hukat HaTorah? It's not my question, that's the question of the Or HaHayim HaKadosh, the Rabbeinu Chaim ben Attar. Maybe we'll see an answer to this. What I came to say today is a chidush that we never said before. Our Torah is studied in many, many directions. We could study the pasuk forward, we could study the pasuk backwards. We're able to study the pasuk in pshat, drash, pshat, remez, drash, sod. Those are four different angles as well. We're able to study the numbers, which we always do, which is gematria. There are many styles to derive Hiddushim from the Pasuk. One of the ways we understand the Torah is through what's called the style of Simuchim. What is Simuchim? Simuchim means, why are certain parashiyot next to each other? Which means the position. Why did it put this parasha next to that parasha? Must be there's a reason. Otherwise, God would have not have juxtaposed them together. You cannot ask that question on the New York Times. There, it was printed because arbitrary reasons. This fits over here, this fits over here. They want to put a more popular article on the front page. They want to put the sports on the back. Whatever the system is, they have a rules. But you cannot ask, why is this article next to that article? But in the Torah, you're able to. Who says you're able to? Not me. Don't take my word for it. If it was just me, now you could discount it. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says in the Pasuk, Simuchim la'ad le'olam asuyim be'emet ve'yashar. From this Pasuk, Simuchim la'ad le'olam asuyim be'emet ve'yashar. When God put things samuch, samuch means next to each other, asuyim be'emet, it's made be'emet, there's a reason. It's to come to teach you a truth, ve'yashar, and to teach you something straight and proper. I'll give you an example, just so you understand the principle of Simuchim. Parashat Mahalotecha is next to Parashat Shelach. The Gemara says, what's the connection between these two parashiyot? Because in Parashat Mahalotecha, at the end, it talks about Miriam. And Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. Why did he separate from his wife? Because he's a prophet, we're all prophets. We don't have to separate from our spouses. Why does he think he's different than us? She questioned Moshe. Immediately, she became punished with leprosy. That's the story of Ba'alotecha. Next parasha, spies. The spies went into Eretz Yisrael, and they come back and they speak Lashon Hara about the land. They said the land is a bad land. It eats its inhabitants. There's giants over there. They live in walled cities. It's very, very dangerous. There's enemies all around. So they spoke Lashon Hara. So the rabbis say, the spies should have learned the lesson of what happened to Miriam. You just saw what happened when Miriam spoke about Moshe. And you see how much she got punished, even though she was a tzaddiket, even though her intention wasn't so bad. And you come along right after that episode, and you come along and speak Lashon Hara about your country. So the Gemara said, there's a claim against the spies. Haya lahem lilmod. They should have learned a lesson, and they didn't. And therefore their punishment is even greater. The Gemara then asks, so that's Simichut. The Gemara then asks, what's the connection between Parashat Korach, Parashat Shelach, which is the Parashat of the Meragelim, and Parashat Korach. It's Ba'alotecha, Shelach, Korach. What's the connection between Shelach and Korach? So, I'll tell you the connection. By the way, what I'm going to say now is not part of the class. It's in parentheses, but I think it deserves a mention. I learned from this last thing I told you that before something is going to happen to a person, God will usually send him a sign first. Borei Olam always gives a person a warning. That's only fair. God would not put a person in a situation unless he was given fair opportunity to understand it. The Meragirim got a warning. Borei Olam knew that these people are going to be tested. So he says, look, I gave you a story of Miriam over here. Aya lachem lilmod. And it's always like that. Any time in life a person sees things, he must always ask himself, why is Hashem showing me this? Why was I placed in this spot over here? And the rabbi talked about this subject. Or why did I see a certain situation? Must be Hashem's preparing me for my own situation. And therefore, always when you see something in history, they have to study, they have to learn. Good. Now we get to Shelach. At the end of Parashat Shelach, it talks about the mitzvah of sisit. You ladies don't wear sisit. I do. The mitzvah of sisit, as you know, we wear a garment, whether it's wool or cotton, it doesn't matter for now. And we put strings. We put four strings or eight strings. Looks like eight, it's really four because we double it over. On all the corners. The mitzvah of sisit, in the olden days, they used to have an extra string. It's really not extra. Instead of one of the white, they put a blue string. That's called techelet. Some say they know where the techelet is today. I know there's a great rabbi in Israel, Rabbi Sabato, Hashem Yishmereu. He has very good proofs that he found the techelet. He actually sent me a talet that he made himself with the techelet string on it. It's magnificent. It's magnificent to see. I wouldn't wear it in public because my rabbis didn't wear the techelet string. But I marvel to look at the techelet. Maybe when I'm alone, nobody's looking, I put it on. It's not pasul. It doesn't make it pasul. Maybe if it's right, it's a great mitzvah. It's a beautiful blue string. What's the reason of this mitzvah? The reason of the mitzvah is that when you look at the blue string will remind you of the ocean. And the ocean will remind you of the sky, because the sky makes the ocean, gives the ocean its color. And then you're going to remember the sky, then you're going to remember the Kisei HaKavod. The Kisei HaKavod, you're going to remember God, and God, you're going to remember the mitzvot. It's supposed to lead you to the mitzvot. Uzkartem et kol mitzvot Hashem. It reminds you of all the mitzvot. I used to have a rabbi that I used to study with, an older rabbi. And whenever he needed to remember something, he would take the back of his tie, and he would go like this. He would make a knot. I told Rabbi, what is this knot over here? He says, I have to remember to go to the bank. So when I leave, I look, why did I do this? So he makes an image. So he says, that's the same reason why we have sisit. We put the strings, we put a knot. What is this to remind me? Why am I wearing these? Oh, it must be to remind me of the mitzvot, of the teriyak mitzvot. That's why the Ashkenazim, they wear the sisit out. So they could see it, they could be reminded. But Rabbeinu Ari said, you're supposed to put the sisit inside. It's not supposed to be uncovered. So we followed Rabbeinu Ari, and our rabbis all kept the sisit inside. And it makes sense. The rabbi that made the knot of it, he didn't put this in front so everybody could see it. He put it behind. It's for him. When he wants to remember, he knows. He put it over there. We know that we're wearing the sisit. It's underneath. So we're reminded constantly. You don't have to see it to remind it. We know we're wearing it. If you have to remember, you can go like this and hold on to it. Anyway, that's the mitzvah of sisit. Oh, so the rabbis say, right after sisit, Korach. What's the connection? So the pasuk says, Vayikach Korach. Korach took. Only problem is, it doesn't say what he took. Vayikach, what did he take? You tell me he took himself. Okay, that's it, he took himself. That's a funny thing, you don't take yourself. Everybody goes, everybody did Vayikach. So the Hakamim say, he took what it just said in the last parasha. He took a Pharisee's seat. Leikach Korah. What did he take? From the last parasha. What do you mean he took a Pharisee's seat? He went to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he showed him an unbelievable garment. The whole garment was made of blue techelet. We never saw such a thing. First of all, it was very expensive. Anyway, there's no reason to make it. Our sisiot, our garments are white. The garment is usually white. It doesn't have to be, but it's usually white. And we put white strings with a blue string. He came along with Moshe Rabbeinu. No strings. All blue. And he's wearing it. He tells in front of all the people, Moshe, this beged, you have to put sisit or you don't have to put sisit? He says, of course, you have to put sisit. There's four corners. And there's a hole over here. You have to stick it in the hole. Make sisit, of course. He said, what are you talking? Doesn't make any sense. He said, if one string of techelet will remind you of the 613 mitzvot, a beged that's all techelet, local sheken, this was Korach's. So Korach came to Moshe and said, this mitzvah that you're giving us doesn't make any sense. You're making up the rules over here. It's not logical. Moshe Rabbeinu said, what do you want me to tell you? This is the law. The law says, even if the whole thing is techelet, you have to put, from this, from the parashav sisit, this is where Korach began all of his letzanut. This is where he became all of his revolution against Moshe. That's the semichut between Shelach Lecha and Korach. What I came to ask today is, what's the connection between Korach and Hukat? The Gemara doesn't say this question. Oh, very good. Very good. You learned very good. No, you missed it. That's it. Okay, well, I'll say it again. The explanation is like this. But you need introductions. One of our members asked, before I left the deal, Rabbi, in the summer, could you teach us Pirkei Avot? I said, it's not our custom, really, this time of year, to study the Pirkei Avot. Our custom is to study Pirkei Avot between Pesach and Shavuot. Some Ashkenazim, they study Pirkei Avot during the summer as well. They study it during certain parashiyot, parashat Naso, parashat Pineas, parashat Shofetim, parashat Tevot Nefesh. Others study it every week during the summer, different minhagim. But since somebody asked already, I'll say one derash on the Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Omer, Ezohi derech yeshara shiyabor lo ha'adam, kol shehi tef'eret le'oseha, v'tef'eret lo min ha'adam. Rabbi asked, Ezohi derech yeshara, what is the proper derech, the proper path, shiyabor lo, shiyabor means shiyabhor lo, that the person should choose in life. What's the proper derech? So he answers, kol shehi tef'eret le'oseha, a derech that brings glory to the Oseha, I don't know what Oseha means. V'teferet lo min ha'adam, and it brings glory to the person. Teferet to the Oseha, teferet to the person. And this Mishnah needs understanding, obviously. It's cryptic. But obviously, Rabbi's answering a big question, because he's answering, what's the derech you should choose in life? So, I want to know the answer good, because this is going to tell me what the derech is. There is a big question in philosophy. When it comes to fulfilling the mitzvot, what is the proper approach to fulfilling mitzvot? One approach says, you must fulfill the mitzvot with blind faith. We call that emunah peshuta. Because God said, don't look for reasons, and don't try to understand the rationale of it, and don't try to figure it out. And, on the contrary, close your minds and just fulfill the mitzvot, because what more reason do you need? God told you to do it. And they say that, like I always tell you, God doesn't owe you an explanation. Like your mother doesn't owe you an explanation when she says, go to your room, because I said so, and finished. So that's one way of doing the mitzvot. The other school says, no. What are you, a robot? You're a zombie? because it says it, you do it blindly without understanding. This is brainless. This is unintelligent. This is unsophisticated. You have to be intelligent, and you have to be keen, and you have to use your wisdom. And we don't just do things because somebody said to do it. Even if it's a deity, God wants you to understand it. And until you understand it, maybe you don't have to do it. And they come along and say, therefore it's your obligation to put reason to all the mitzvot. Who's right? Don't answer so quick. Both approaches have benefits. But one approach has a deficiency. The benefits of emunah peshuta are that you'll keep all the 613 mitzvot no matter what. The benefit of giving reasons, there's a benefit because you'll do the mitzvot with excitement, because you'll understand it. And when you understand things, then the religion doesn't become a Chinese newspaper. Then the religion becomes vibrant. So there's a benefit. However, there's a negative on the rational side, and that is because when the mitzvah doesn't make sense to you, and you don't have a reason, you're not going to do it. And that becomes dangerous. Because then the Torah becomes from 613 to 612, and then to 611, and then to 610. And as you start to question the Torah, all of a sudden, you end up only doing a certain a number of the mitzvot. This is very dangerous. Whereas those that keep emunah peshuta, their observance doesn't depend on their understanding. Their observance doesn't depend on rational understanding or comprehension. They do it because they do it. I'll give you an example. There was a great rabbi called Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, why did Hashem say the Brit Milah is on the eighth day? I didn't know there's a reason. I thought, I don't know, I thought that's a hawk. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I'm going to give you a reason. Shelo yehiyu kulam simehim vehem atzevim. In order that not everybody should be happy and the parents will be sad. What did he mean? In the olden days, when did a lady go to the mikveh after she gave birth? After she gave birth to a boy, she would go after 7 days. It says, Isha ki tazriya, v'yaleda zachar, v'tame'a shiva'at yamim. She was tame'a 7 days. So what would happen? She would go to the mikveh on the 7th, and then on the 8th day they would do the brit milah. So the Bishop on your eyes says, that's good for the couple. Now they can take pictures together, they're able to, she can hold her hand to help her walk into the shul, and when she gives the baby to the husband, it solves a lot of issues. If she's nida at the milah, they're going to be upset. Everybody's enjoying, and the mother and father, they cannot even communicate properly. Wow, that's the reason for the 8th day. Unbelievable reason. I never ever thought of such a reason. This is the Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said. So now it makes it very nice, but for us it doesn't help this reason. Because today, no lady goes to the mikveh after 7 days. Today, after a lady gives birth, weeks later she goes to the mikveh. So now you're going to tell me, according to that reason, today in 2015 we'll do the Brit Milah after 6 weeks. Now already you're starting to fool around with the mitzvot. And now you're going to start making a new rules over here. Because once you know the reason, you're going to come along now and start adjusting it. Other situations, where a lady, she gave birth, and that's it. After she gave birth, she was single. She wasn't married. So she's not planning on going to the mikveh. So she said, the whole reason why they did it on the 8th day is so I can be happy with my husband. I don't have a husband. Finished. I'll do the milah when he's like an Arab, when he's 13 years old. We'll do the... Once already you start to apply the reasons, all of a sudden you're going to start changing the mitzvot, and they're going to be different. So therefore there's a disadvantage of always trying to understand everything. However, again, I tell you, Don't think it's the Torah only wants you to do things blindly. Why do we come to class for? To understand the Torah. That's what we're coming to class. If everything was supposed to be done with blind faith, then every class we would say, ladies, the Torah says this, don't ask any questions, finish. The class is over. We come to understand it. But the understanding is not the essence. The essence of our observance is because God said, and I'll prove it to you, when we accepted the Torah, had we accepted the Torah, I wouldn't accept it that way. If I was there, you would hear one voice saying something different. I would have said, Nishma v'na'aseh. What does it mean? Na'aseh. Na'aseh means we will do. Nishma means not we will hear. No. Understand. Nishma means we'll understand. Nishma is to understand. I would have said, first let me understand. If a lawyer gives me a pamphlet of 613 pages, he says, Rabbi, please sign your name. I don't sign my name. Slow down. Come in a week. I need to read every single clause of the 613 pages that you gave me over here. No. Just sign. And if I sign, what happens? Then you're bound. Finish. You're stuck. I don't know. How can I sign a document if I don't even know what's written in it? The Jewish people did that. They came along and God gave them 613 pages. And we said, Na'aseh. Okay, now give it to us. Nishma. Let's try to understand it. Yeah, it's too late. It's too late. You're stuck. I would have said, give me the mitzvot that I understand. Whatever I understand, I'll take. You're selling me 613. If I understand all 613, I'll ask you in my head. If I don't understand 613, I'll take whatever. I'll take 400. 400 is also good. The Jewish people said, no. We're taking all 613. Then for Nishma, whatever we understand, it's gravy. Whatever we understand is extra. That means Na'aseh must always come before Nishma. I have a custom always when they ask me to speak at a bar mitzvah that I always say the following dirash because I think it's a lesson for the bar mitzvah boys. I tell them, boys, our religion says you must put on tefillin. First we put on tefillin shel yad and then we put on tefillin shel rosh. And I always ask, why does Tefillin Shel Yad come before Tefillin Shel Rosh? And then it says when you take off your Tefillin, you take off the Rosh first, and you leave the Yad. That means the Yad is always on. The Rosh is put on second, and is taken off first, but the Yad always remains. The Yad is first on, and last off. Why? And the explanation I say is because the Tefillin Shel Yad represents action. And Tefillin Shel Rosh represents understanding. In our religion, action must precede understanding. And therefore, we put the Tefillin Shel Yad on. Even though the Rosh is not there yet, doesn't matter. Just Na'aseh. Of course, if you could have Tefillin Shel Rosh also, Matov Manaim. That's great if you can have it. However, when we take the Tefillin off, we remove the Rosh. Even if there's no Rosh, the Yad must still remain. That's a lesson to the Bar Mitzvah boys, that their observance must not be contingent. Their observance not. I say that because today, in the critical world that we live in, of cynical people, that they question a lot of these mitzvot, especially if you go to the universities, and all the different places of academia, they make fun of these laws, Chas v'Shalom. They laugh at them because they don't follow the rules of science and they don't follow the. They think they don't follow their laws. They think they don't follow the laws. And therefore, they question, well, what kind of reasoning is this? However, we tell the Bar Mitzvah boy, now you're going to start going to higher learning. Na'aseh v'nishma. The Pasuk says, Adam u'bhema toshia Adonai. Man and the animal will bring salvation to God. Man will bring salvation. The animal will bring salvation to God. The Gemara says, "Elu b'nei Adam she'osim atzman kebehema." This is referring to the tzaddikim that have a lot of wisdom, but when they come to serve God, like a behema, they put their head down and they plow. They don't ask any questions. This is the secret of tefillin. Now, there's something else I usually say. Maybe you saw it once. when the boy puts on the tefillin, in the middle finger, he puts on three straps. And our custom is to say three pesukim. When we put the first strap on, we say, Ve'irastich li le'olam. Then we say, Ve'irastich li be'sedek u'mishpat u'b'chesed u'rahamim. Then we say, Ve'irastich li be'emuna ve'yada'at et Adonai. This three straps over here is like a wedding ring. It's a ring. Who are we marrying? We're marrying a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we say Ve'erastich. Ve'erastich is Lashon Erusin. Erusin is Arus, is a marriage, is engagement. When we put on the tefillin, we're connecting ourselves to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and He gives us three rings. It's a triple ring ceremony. So first of all, we say to God, Ve'erastich li le'olam. Our marriage to you is going to be forever. And it will be a good marriage of kindness and happiness and love and all good things. And then we give how the marriage is going to maintain itself. We say, first must come emunah, and then comes v'yada'at. Emunah means, because God said, emunah peshutah. And after I accept the mitzvot in blind faith of emunah, then ve'yada'at. If you have that recipe of ve'erastich li ve'emunah ve'yada'at, then it'll be ve'erastich li le'olam. But once already it's ve'erastich li first da'at, then it's not guaranteed it'll last forever. Because once already you think that you outsmarted the Torah and this doesn't apply, and you have a question, all of a sudden, a lot of the mitzvot will start to chas v'shalom fall to the wayside. And last week, if you remember, we learned the 13 principles. Last week, we learned one of the 13 principles. Today, I'm going to teach you another one. Maimonides says it as well. Lo yahalif ha'el ve'lo yamir. Dato le'olamim. That means our mitzvot, our dat, our religion, is le'olam. It's an eternal law. There's no expiration date on the mitzvot. There's no shelf life on the mitzvot. Dato le'olamim. If somebody will come along and say, even if he's a prophet, and he'll come along and say, the law of kashrut doesn't apply anymore. God came to me and He said, this mitzvah is inapplicable. Because the only reason why hazir is asur is because of trichinosis. Today there's no more trichinosis. It's a disease that they used to have in the pigs. Worms, and used to be dangerous. Today we have the FDA. Of course, you could trust the FDA. They have the highest standards. And therefore, the highest standards. And then what? So therefore the Prophet says, no more trichinosis, hazir mutar. Hey, hazir mutar. You know what we do with that Prophet? We stone him to death. You're coming along to take a mitzvah away from the Torah? Although a Prophet is allowed to temporarily suspend the mitzvah. Temporarily. But if he's going to come along like Shabtai Svi came. Ooh. And he came along and he said, Matir Asurim. Baruch Atah Hashem, Matir Asurim. Whatever was Asur, Mutar. And he started to take, and he ate Hazir. They told him, Hakam, how could you eat the Hazir? It's finished. It's the times of the Mashiach. The Hazir is Mutar. Mutarim Lachem, Mutarim Lachem, Mutarim Lachem. It doesn't matter how long his beard is, how big his hat is. It doesn't matter. Nobody can come along and say, this mitzvah doesn't apply anymore. Oh, Dato le'olamim. He said, but the reason doesn't apply. Somebody will come along and say, Rabbi, today on Shabbat, you're allowed to turn on a light. What do you mean? But the Torah says, Lo te'aru esh. You know what the Torah meant? The Torah was talking 3,000 years ago. How did they make esh? They took two rocks and they had to, you know how difficult it was to make fire in those days? Shabbat is a day of rest. The Torah didn't want people to have to exert themselves and rub rocks together. But today, just to turn on a switch. On the contrary, that's Onik Shabbat. Onik Shabbat. You just sit in the dark. Makat Hoshek, Shabbat. This is nothing to do. Oh, so you're coming along and starting to put your own ideas into the Torah. Somebody will come along and say, I drive on Shabbat. Hey, you drive on Shabbat? Yeah, what's the matter? Isn't the Torah day of rest? Yeah. What's more exertion? Walking to shul or driving? walking, I get to the knees, I'm all tired already. I cannot have kavana. I get in my car, 2 minutes I'm in the shul, the air conditioning in the car, I'm able to see the music in the car. That's Onik Shabbat. In the olden days, they didn't have cars. How would they have to go somewhere? And a horse. A horse is not easy. Horse, you got Charlie horse, you got pains, it's difficult. So they said, no horses on Shabbat. But today they have cars. Oh, so you're coming along and you're putting your own brains in the Torah. But the Hakamim don't say this. The Torah doesn't say this. Our rabbis tell us, Esh is whatever the Esh of the generation is. In the olden days, it was a stone. In the modern generation, it's electricity. What's the difference? And he says, no, this is not Esh. Okay, this is not Esh. I told you what they do to such a person. In 120 years, when he goes to Olam Abba, they tell him, how come you turned on lights on Shabbat? And he says, no, electricity is not Esh. Ah, good, please, they tell him, please come sit in this chair over here. Baruch Abba, what is this chair? No, this is a special chair, please sit over here. And they put a helmet on his head, and they tie him in over there. They say, what are you doing over here? What are you worried about? This is called electric chair, but you don't have anything to worry about. It's not Ish. And then they tell them, ah, plug it in, and they will see if it's Ish or not. And then that's his punishment. He gets his punishment. Midah connected midah. That I heard from Achav Avadya'ala, Mashallah. He used to say that, Mashallah. Anyway, verastik li be'emuna. First, the marriage must be be'emuna. And then, v'yada'at et Adonai. Based on this, Rabbeinu Yosef Haim in Baghdad, that's the Ben Ish Chai, he explains the Mishnah that I said in Pirkei Avot. The Mishnah is asking, Ezuhi derech yeshara sheyabor lo ha'adam? What is the right path that a person should choose? Should he choose emuna peshuta, or should he choose hakira, understanding, reasoning? Ezu derech yeshara? Which is the proper derech? This is a strong question, because all our religion is going to depend on the approach. What's the approach? So the Mishnah says, "Kol shehi teferet le'oseha." First, you must give the glory to the oseha, to the one that invented it, to the maker. Who's the maker? God. The approach must be, first, it must be a way that gives glory to God, which means emunah peshuta. And then, v'tif'eret lo min ha'adam. And only after the glory is given to God, that I do the mitzvah because God said, then you want to add your own 2 cents, then you want to add your understanding. Tif'eret lo min ha'adam. Why? Because when I can explain the mitzvah to you, it gives the mitzvah glory. And the people say, oh, this is a nice mitzvah. But if I can't explain it to you, the people walk away and saying, what is this? What is this law? It doesn't go into my head. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says, when the Jews brought the Parah Adumah to the world, the Goyim came along, they started making fun of us. It says, Shehayu Goyim monim otanu. Monim means ona'ah. They were abusing us verbally. They were saying, what is this mitzvah? Matam yeshba. What's the reason for this? They were making fun of us. So when we brought the Parah Adumah, it wasn't Tiferet lo min ha'adam. On the contrary, we got abused by the Goyim. They said, what kind of people are you? You're supposed to be so smart, and you bring us this law that nobody could figure out. So, it doesn't bother us. The main thing is Tiferet le'oseha. As long as the Creator is happy with this mitzvah, even though the people are making fun of us because of it, we have no choice. Tiferet min oseha must always come before Tiferet lo min adam. That's the path that Rabbi said. Based on this, the Ben Ish Chai explains an interesting Gemara. The Gemara is in Shabbat. The Gemara tells a story as follows. The Gemara is like this. That's in the 16th chapter. Ima Shalom. Ima Shalom. Dibitu, the Rabbi Eliezer, Ahted Rabban Gamliel Abai. Ima Shalom was the sister of Rabban Gamliel. Havahu filosifa. There was a philosopher. Even from those days they had. B'shibbutayhu, in the neighborhood. Dava Shakil Shema. He used to have a reputation. Delo hava mekabel shuhda. He would say, I never receive bribes. This was, he was lying, of course. But he would praise himself. I'm an honest judge. So they wanted to make fun of him. They wanted to show him that he's a faker. So she went, Ima Shalom, and she bought for him a beautiful golden chandelier. It's a gift. Why are you giving this to me? Matana. The next day she comes to him and says, Ba'ina de Niflegeli Benikse de Ben Nasha. I need you to judge a case against my brother. What's the case? He says, me and Rabban Gamliel are brothers and sisters. Our father left an inheritance. I want a piece of the inheritance. This is what she tells the philosopher. Amar oto filosof. The philosopher said, the Rabban Gamliel, paligla, give a half. Amar le Rabban Gamliel. It says in the law, bimkom bera bertal lo tirut. Where there's a boy, the girl doesn't inherit. Where you're making up this new laws. If there's a boy, the boy gets the inheritance. Vani hazachar. He says, I'm the boy, and I'm a yoresh. Amar le miyomad galitun mehar achon. You Jews, since you've been sent into exile, and God banished you from the land of Israel, in talit oraita de Moshe, the Torah of Moshe doesn't apply anymore. V'tiayivat aharita. There's a new law today. V'chatuv ba bera ubarta kehada. The boy and the girl are equal. Leave it. Finish. That's the new law. V'kamu mifhala b'shtika. So they got up. Rabban Gamliel lost. What happened? Ulmahar, the next day. Hadar ayile iyu hamra luba. Rabban Gamliel sent the philosopher a special donkey called Hamra Luba. Very expensive. Even more expensive than the chandelier. He sent the same philosopher a gift. What is this over here? Matana. Now he says, could you think about the case again? I know yesterday you said I have to split it with my sister. Think over again. He says, you know, I remembered something. I looked in my notes, he says, and it says, Bekatuv, Ana lole mepak meoraita de Moshe atit. I'm not coming to change the law of Moshe. Who am I to change the law of Moshe? Uchtiv ben, it says in the law of Moses, Bemkom bara bartalotirut. Where there's a boy, the girl gets nothing. And that's my ruling. So now what happens? Amra le leoto filosof. So the sister, the girl, tells the philosopher, Nehor noharach. What happened to the chandelier? Amar le Rabban Gamliel, ata hamra ubatash lesharga. The donkey came and it kicked your chandelier away. Which means he was telling him, I bribed him more than you bribed. Your chandelier is nothing. The Havor came and kicked. There's the story of the Gemara. It's a hysterical story, but our Gemara is not interested in telling hysterical stories. So that's where we have to ask, what's the reason for the story? Stop, the Gemara wants to tell us amusing stories. It's not a Chas V'Shalom magazine. Every word in the Gemara is for a lesson. Says the Ben Ish-Hai, that this Gemara is teaching you a very important principle. He writes, and I quote, ובקיצורן של דברים נדבר והוא כי דרך הקבלה והאמונה, fulfilling the mitzvot in אמונה, נקרא ברא. That's called the son, the male. כי הזכר כוחו בריא וחזק. The male is usually stronger physically than the female. So therefore, the strong method is the emunah method. Because it'll never change. But doing things only from understanding, that's the female. Because it's the weaker system. Because that system has inherent flaws in it. Because the mitzvah becomes now unstable. Because the mitzvah based on logic can fall apart. It can dissipate. So he says, what happened? This philosopher originally came along and said that when they came to him in the court, his original ruling was what? His original ruling was, and I'll quote the Lashon of the Gemara, he said, "Miyomad galitud ma'arechon, bera ubarta kahada." The philosopher, he said, in my opinion, bera ubarta kahada, they're both equal. Following the mitzvot, like bera or like barta, the same. One is not higher than the other. This philosopher was making the big mistake. The mistake to think that they're equal, and therefore whichever path you want to take, you could take. Either take emunah peshuta or emunah b'hakira. Either one is equal. And this is a philosopher talking. And those are the ones that usually make this mistake. Because it's the philosophers that come along and say, don't things with emunah. Use your brain. Right, just because the rabbi said. Right, just because you read it in a book. Just because you saw it in Sefer HaChinuch. Well, he's a human being like you're a human being. Just because somebody else, he's also a mortal human being like yourself. Why do you have to subjugate? But he's explaining the Torah. You have a brain, use your own brain. So hold it, slow down. So the philosopher came along and said, in my opinion, bera ubarta shavin. But then later on, he saw that his philosophy was wrong. He saw that when you do it that way, eventually the Torah becomes watered down. And therefore at the end he had to come along and say, I retract. Bekom bara barta lo tirut. Which means the bara must come before the barta. In a place where there's the ben, the bat has no access. The lashon of the Ben Ish Chai was, ki hanekeva kocha halash, tashkocho kanekeva, v'hine Rabban Gamliel diber be'emet v'sedek. Rabban Gamliel was telling the philosopher, what are you talking about that the bara and the barta are equal? Rabban Gamliel told the judge, you're wrong. Our Torah says, where there's a bara, there's no barta. And he said, no, you know what you're talking. It's equal. And then the philosopher came to learn at the end that Rabban Gamliel was indeed right. So this Mishnah is actually, this Gemara is coming to complement the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Ezui derech yishara shiabor lo adam. And that's why, probably, when our Torah says over here in Parashat Para, Zotokata Torah, why did it say Zotokata Torah? Because it's coming to teach you that ultimately the whole Torah, not only Para Aduma, the whole Torah must be fulfilled ultimately as a chok. Even the Mishpatim, because you're going to come along and say, oh, kibud avim, I understand it. Why? Because they do so much for me. They gave birth to me. Look how much they fed me, they taught me. Yeah, and let's say you have a child that their parents didn't feed them and didn't give them any money and didn't do anything for them. Now you're going to say, you don't have to do kibud avim. Lo tignov. You say, oh, lo tignov. It's not right to steal. But he's rich. And you can start giving all the reasons to all the mitzvot. And you'll come to mevatel all the mitzvot. So therefore, the pasuk comes along and says the right way to fulfill the Torah is zot chukat haTorah. Ultimately, chok. Don't go after the reasons, because once you start going after reasons, you get into trouble. Does that mean you shouldn't go after reasons? Of course not. Tefillin shalosh is very important, but first tefillin shel yad. Now I understand the connection between parashat Korah and parashat chukat. Let's go back. Korach's whole argument was what? On the Techelet. Vayikach Korach. What did he take? Parashat Tzitzit. I want to ask you a question. I told you the reason for Techelet. I told you that Techelet reminds you of this, reminds you of that. Let's say the Torah never told us the reason. Let's say God just said, I want you to put Techelet on your strings because would Korach have an argument? He could not have an argument. If Korach would have just taken the mitzvah of tzitzit because God said, he cannot come along with all his pilpulim. But Korach came along and said, I know the reason. The reason is because this reminds you. So if this one string reminds you, so the whole garment reminds you. And therefore, you're telling me you still have to put strings? This is a joke. This whole Torah doesn't make any sense. It's the reason that got Korach in trouble. Korach didn't have emunah peshuta. Korach didn't have this simple, basic faith. Korach was always trying to figure out the reasons. Moshe Rabbeinu should have told him, what are you talking about? God said, leave God. Don't tell me. I want all the reasons. Korach needed to understand it. And therefore, you know what comes right after Parashat Korach? Zot Chukat HaTorah. It's a shame. If Zot Chukat HaTorah would have been before Korach, maybe Korach wouldn't have made the mistake. But the Torah is coming to tell you, P.S. How do you make sure that you don't become Korach? How do you make sure that you don't make this mistake that Korach did? Then he'll come along and start saying, Sisit doesn't make sense. He came along and he told Moshe, what's the reason why you put a mezuzah in the room over here? A mezuzah? It's to protect. It's a protection. Shaddai, Shomer Datot Yisrael. And what's written in the mezuzah? Parashat Shema. Oh, it's very good. This is the interpretation. Yes, this is what they told us. Good. I have a library over here, and I have 10 sets of Shas, and I have 10 sets of Zohar, and I have 10 sets of Tanakh. Do I have to put a mezuzah in this room? He says, of course. You're telling me one scroll of Shema protects. I have all these books. It doesn't protect. You know what you're talking about. You see again, Korah. Maybe you have to put a mezuzah on the door because God said you have to put a mezuzah on the door. God said if you have a doorpost, you have to take the Shema. You're right. We give a reason, a protection. That's just a reason. And let's say I have 10 soldiers with guns standing at the door. I don't need a mezuzah. Or let's say a person lives on an island. He's the only one living on the island. There's nobody there. No robbers, no thieves, no nothing. Zero. No animals, no nothing. He's on an island. He built the island. He's alone. He builds a door. He has to put a mezuzah. Why? What is he protection from? He doesn't need protection. The explanation is when we give the reasons, that's not the reason. That's just the ta'am. That's seasoning. But Korach came along and said, that's the reason. Your reason makes no sense. And what happened? Instead of falling back to emunah peshuta, he took the mitzvah and put it in Ginizah. So it was from this, because Korach didn't follow the rules of Trukat HaTorah. To Korach was a graduate from the university. His was rational thinking. His had to be always with an interpretation. And if you couldn't answer him, he would give up. You know, ladies, I will conclude with this. I know you don't study Gemara, but in the Gemara many times, the rabbis ask very strong questions. And after the question is raised, the rabbis don't have an answer. And the Gemara leaves it with one word, tiku. Tiku means Eliyahu HaNavi will answer it when he comes. Tiku is Rashi Tevot. Tishbi, Ya'aneh, Kushiyot, U'ba'ayot. Tishbi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, he'll answer it. The rabbis had respect for the law. They didn't come along and say, hey, we asked this question. There's no answer. And there's no answer. The law doesn't apply. Scratch. Oh, calm down. It's a good question. Tishbi ya'aneh. When Eliyahu Nevi comes, he'll give it. And in the meantime, you have to do it. What do you have to do it? Eliyahu Nevi, he might be not coming for 1,000 years. So we have to do it for that without understanding it. That's what Tishbi ya'aneh. But they understood also, that Tishbi had an answer. Which is maybe Tishbi is not going to have an answer. Maybe when Eliyahu Nevi is going to come, they're going to ask him, he's going to say, Good question. I don't know. They understood that even though it's a chok to us, but to the malachim and to the tzaddikim, that from the previous generations, they had understanding to the mitzvot. And therefore, you never do a mitzvah only because of the Rosh. Tefillin shel Rosh, it's not ve'erastik le'olam. That marriage, Chas v'Shalom, is a shaky marriage. One day you'll do it, and one day you'll be disobedient. One day you'll have a loyalty, and the next day, Hashem, there'll be infidelity. Because reasons and understanding alone cannot keep a religion. Ultimately, the religion must be kept because of emunah peshuta. And this is the lesson of Parashat Hukat. Not Zot Hukat HaPara. Para is one example. But Zot Hukat HaTorah. All the mitzvot ultimately must be done with that reason. If you're lucky once in your life that you get a reason for something, I would give you advice. Go read the Sefer HaChinuch. This was written by a rabbi called Rabbi Aharon HaLevi. He was one of the Rishonim. He explains all the 613 mitzvot, and he gives a reason for each one of the mitzvot. Even for Para Aduma, he says something. But even himself, he says, I'm just giving you salt and pepper. I'm not telling you. Nobody should ever read the Sefer HaChinuch and say, ah, he said that's the reason. It doesn't apply to me. I forfeit. Impossible. Emunah peshuta, in a place where's the bara, barta lo yarit. Where there's the bara, the reasoning has no merit. But the philosophers, they want to come along and say, bara u barta shavin. They're equal. You could pick any approach that you want. Rabbi warned us. It must be teferet min oseha, and then only then, teferet lo min adam.